All right. We'll record Naomi's. While she's getting ready, I'll remind you of our services tonight. I want to bring a message called God's Hedge from the first chapter of the book of Job. I almost entitled it When Satan Tells the Truth, but I didn't want to give him credit for anything, because he's the one that said to the Lord that he says, well, Job is such a good man because you built a hedge around him and I can't get to him. And so we're going to talk about God's hedge tonight, how that he's built a hedge around each and every one of his children. And also we have a Bible study about David on Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock. Come out and be with us in that time of Bible study. Tonight, after our evening service, we will be having a celebration for all of you who have birthdays and anniversaries this month. So we want you here so we can sing happy birthday to you, or happy anniversary, whichever is appropriate for the occasion. So come out and be with us in those services. All right.
Go ahead. I've sang this so many times, you probably know the words too, but it keeps getting requested.
Amen.
When he was on the cross,
amen.
You know what? We were on his mind. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, a crown of thorns on his head. Blood was on that scarlet robe, hands tainted crimson red. His eyes were on the crowd that day as he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory made the heaven shine. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he was on that cross, you and I were on his mind.
Hey.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. Luke chapter 18. Verse 13 for our text. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I would like to take from my text this morning one little phrase out of this entire verse and preach on these words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I went through my Bible and found in the New Testament several occasions where people cried out to God and asked Him for mercy. But I never have found any place in my Bible where an individual ever cried out and asked God for justice. And having read the verses in the Bible that pertain to God's mercy, I found out there are three types of mercy that are mentioned in the Bible. Three types. And I would like to share those with you. First of all, there's the mercy of human kindness. Our Lord Jesus Christ has shown kindness to all of us. The Bible says that He sends rain. I thought of this yesterday. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. And He's slow to anger. He's of great mercy, the Bible says. Great mercy. So in showing kindness to all without partiality, that's one type of mercy that God shows on us. He gives to all life and breath and all things. There's another type of mercy that's called compassion, caring. The Bible says that Jesus looked out and He saw His people as sheep having no shepherd. And He had compassion on them. That's how He looks on those that are lost in ignorance of salvation. That's how He feels toward those sinners who need to be saved. He sees them as wandering around as sheep having no shepherd. And He's concerned about it. He has compassion. And then there's the third type of mercy that's found in the Bible. And that's the type that I want to show you in this message today. And that's the mercy which God has on those guilty sinners who repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ on the basis of the fact that He has become a sacrifice for our sins. The mercy of sacrifice. I want you to think for a moment. Jesus could have fulfilled the scriptures and come into this world born of a virgin. He could have lived a sinless life, gone about doing good, causing the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, all things like that. And then after living his 33 years, going about doing good, he could have just stepped on a cloud, pushed the button, and that cloud would have taken him right back up to heaven, and he could have sat down at his Father's right hand. He could have. But he didn't. He could have escaped all the humiliation and all of the suffering of crucifixion and dying on the cross. But he didn't. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll remember he prayed there to his Father and said, "Father, if it be possible that men can be saved any other way, let me escape all of this suffering and die. But if you want me to, I'll give my life as a sacrifice. I'll shed my blood on that old cross for the sins of the world, so that people of all ages, all around the world, can be saved. I'm willing to do it." And that's what he did. That's the mercy of sacrifice. Now, you got your Bibles there. I want you to take them and follow along with me. I want to show you how to get someone saved, how you can bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you five times in the New Testament where people ask Jesus for mercy and not for justice. First one is Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Scripture says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples," he's got his 12 disciples with him, "and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" There's another one in Luke chapter 17. Beginning in verse 11. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Then in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." He's over here on the Mediterranean shores of the Mediterranean Sea now. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.'" And number four, Matthew 17, verse 14 and 15. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, and oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Number 5, Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar, we find his name is Lazarus, died. We've got a death here. No consequence, he's a beggar. Amen. He died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now you'll notice there is one theme that runs all through all five of these instances. Have mercy on me. Point number one, all mercy comes from God. The Bible says he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy. And another thing about mercy, you and I cannot demand mercy of God. We cannot come to God and say, God, I demand that you show mercy on me. It's something that has to be given. And mercy is a gift that is to be received. If someone does you an injustice, he cannot come to you and demand that you show him mercy and forgive him. He's not in a position to demand anything. He's in the position of a beggar who pleads for mercy. You and I were sinners. We had sinned against God. We couldn't come into God's presence and demand that he give us mercy. It's like that publican in our text. He didn't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I demand that you show mercy on me. He was begging, he was pleading for mercy. Have mercy on me. Now let's look at these five instances that we've referred to here where these people ask for mercy and see just what they mean. First, let's look at poor old blind Bartimaeus. Close your eyes real tight and you can imagine how he was seeing. Blind. He couldn't see the light of day. And he knew that he needed mercy because he was blind. And he knew that the only remedy for his blindness was the mercy of God. He needed mercy, not justice. And he asked for mercy, and he received mercy. He received his sight. Then we saw the 10 lepers. They stood before the Lord at a distance. Unclean. When a person contracted the disease of leprosy, they became contagious. It was catching. And they were outcast. They had to put a cloth over their mouth and isolate or quarantine themselves from others because of the contagiousness of this disease of leprosy. So these 10 men had separated themselves from their friends. from their family, from their loved ones, from society as a whole. When someone came too close to them and didn't realize they were in the presence of a leper, these lepers had to announce themselves, unclean, unclean, so that that person could withdraw from them. They didn't brag to the Lord about how good they'd been or how often they had attended the synagogue services or how often they had read their Bible and prayed. They didn't say that they'd been baptized and were good church members. They asked for mercy, not because they thought they deserved it, but because they needed it. And Jesus cleansed them. Oh, by the way, if you read on in the text, you'll find that one of them even returned to say thank you. Yeah, 1 out of 10 came back and says, thank you for healing me. Then there was the Canaanite woman. She was a Gentile, not a Jew. She could only beg for the crumbs that fell from the table. She had no grounds on which to approach Jesus at all. She could not boast of her goodness because she had none. She was helpless, hopeless, undeserving. She could not plead her righteousness before him. She had none. She didn't even have the right to go into the Jews' temple. She was a Gentile. All she could do was to cry out, Lord, have mercy. And he did. He did. And then there was that man that had a son that was a lunatic. Sound familiar? Yes, he had a lunatic spirit in him. I believe we're living in an age when there are many sons and daughters who are possessed of demons. You know what a demon is? A demon is the evil spirit of a fallen angel. And a fallen angel cannot be saved. Christ did not die for fallen angels. He died for sinful men. There's no hope for them. And they're seeking out the bodies of people, particularly young people today, that they might possess their bodies and control their lives. And encouraged by the liberal politicians in our country, they're gaining access to a generation with illegal drugs and things like that. There are many people today, many parents, whose teenagers are out of control, rebels without authority, against authority. Parents can't handle them. Nothing they say to them does any good. This father did the right thing. He went to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. Parents today need to pray for the boys and girls that are demon possessed. Take them to Jesus. He's the only one that can cure them. But now let's move on to this last one. The rich man in hell cried out for mercy. Remember now that he was dead. His body had been buried in the cemetery. But where did his soul go at death? He lifted up his eyes in torment. He said that he was tormented by these flames. That's the fires of a literal hell. I've got news for you today. There is a hell. Can our minds grasp the reality this morning that there are millions and millions of souls in this same circumstance today? If you and I could stand and look into that place of torment, it would make a new creature out of us, I'll tell you. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and reject the free salvation that he offers to all of those who will accept it, they die without Christ. They die without hope. They'll cry out for mercy, but their cry will come too late. Listen, there is no mercy in hell.
Amen.
Think of that. There is no mercy in hell. There's no alleviation of the pain and the suffering of those in that terrible place. Can you imagine? All opportunity to be saved is past and gone. It's too late. Now, the publican in our text received mercy. The Bible says that he went down to his house justified. Blind Bartimaeus received mercy, and he received his sight. The 10 lepers received mercy and were cleansed of their leprosy. And the Canaanite mother received mercy and her daughter was delivered from her devil. And this father received mercy and his son was delivered from his devil. But that rich man in hell is still there, being tormented in the flame. It's too late for him. He had waited too long. May I impress upon you this morning the urgency of this matter? Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. God's arm of mercy will not reach down into the pits of hell and lift you out after you're dead. All that matters today is that you realize you are lost, you're a sinner, and you can't save yourself. And listen to this. No one has ever cried out to God for mercy who's alive. No one has called out, "Lord, have mercy on me and save me," that didn't get his prayer answered.
Amen.
God has never and will never say no to a person who asks for the forgiveness of his sins. That's a request that's always granted. God hears the sincere cry for mercy because he is still a merciful God. And we should be glad of that and tell the world that Jesus saves. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your grace, that unmerited favor that you had upon us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he was buried and he rose again for our justification. And we thank you this morning that we can stand here in this pulpit and tell all of these people, and they can go out into the world and tell all the people, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, because he's a merciful God. And if there's one here in this congregation who has never knelt at your feet and cried out with a broken heart, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake," I pray that today they will come here and will do that very thing and walk out of this place and go to their home like the publican did, justified. Thank you, Father, for the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross of Calvary that cleanses us from all sin. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
494.
Number 494. As we sing a verse of this invitation, if God has spoken to your heart today, we invite you to come.
If you are
are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart.
Will you come today?
If you desire a new life,
Jesus is offering you eternal life.
Jesus, come into your heart.
Will you receive it? It's a gift to be received. It doesn't cost you anything. Receive him by faith. He that hath the Son hath life. That's eternal life. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never perish. Will you come today? Sing another verse, please. Sing another verse. The attention that you gave to the preaching of the word today, and come back and be with us tonight for our evening service. Appreciate having you. And I'm going to ask Brother Abel if he'll dismiss us in our prayer this morning.